Well, I'm still Eve Prangpluse, and I'm still a licensed nutrition counselor. And, you know, boy, the news has been hot with issues about food and health. It seems like three out of the last four shows I've had to debunk studies. Well, here's one where I sure got a lot of questions and calls about the danger warnings that came as a result of finding arsenic in over 200 foods, specifically 200 rice products. You know, everybody knows arsenic is a poison. I mean, how many murder mysteries have we read that have used arsenic as a way to bump somebody off? So whether it was Napoleon Bonaparte or someone a little less famous, all of us know that arsenic can be dangerous and can cause health damage, especially over a long period of time. You know, just how carcinogenic arsenic is really just coming to light. But Consumer Reports decided to test rice and rice products. And it was everything from Rice Krispies to rice milk to rice cereal for babies. Well, we know that rice contains more arsenic than other grains. And it's fundamentally because rice is grown in water-flooded conditions. And so it just simply absorbs the arsenic from the soil and the water. It was, you know, not too terribly long ago that the horrible poisoning took place in Bangladesh that made us clearly aware that concentrating arsenic in the water can happen as a result of years and years and years of using arsenic-laden pesticides and fertilizers. You know, it was 20 years ago that Bangladesh brought that international attention to the toxic effects of naturally occurring arsenic in drinking water. You know, there's places out in the West and in the Southwest where there is so much arsenic that's in the bedrock, it naturally leaches into the drinking water. So, you know, there are places in the United States, not just in the Southwest and the Rockies, but in New Hampshire and Maine and Michigan, where the bedrock has these unusually high levels of arsenic and it leaches into the water. We can look at Superfund sites, Superfund for Toxic Agents, the Agency for Toxic Substances, and the Environmental Protection Agency lists these Superfund sites that are found all around the country where there are higher concentrations of arsenic on the property. And some of those are simply because the bedrock aquifer contains high concentrations and private well owners can be exposed because the water flows over the arsenic-rich rock, and that's how it shows up. 40% of people in New Hampshire use water from a private well, and, you know, 20% of those were found to have high arsenic levels. The EPA does not regulate private well water or doesn't require states to do so. So people who draw their water from a private well are responsible for monitoring its qualities. So Consumer Reports went out. They bought all of these different kinds of rice products. And it didn't matter whether it was white rice or brown rice. Didn't matter whether it was jasmine rice or basmati rice. In fact, brown rice had more arsenic than white rice, but some individual samples were low in arsenic as compared to white rice. It didn't really matter. What's true is that when you cook rice the Asian way, rinse it first, you know, cook it in 4 to 6 cups of water to a cup of rice, and pour the excess water off at the end, it will remove probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a third of the arsenic that's present in there. You know, when I was first getting involved in Whole Foods and just learning to cook brown rice, I never grew up with rice. You know, I have a girlfriend of mine who was born in South Carolina, and she considers rice one of the four major food groups. But I grew up with a Scottish-Dutch father, so boiled potatoes were on the table every day when I was growing up. Unless we had spaghetti, we always had boiled potatoes for dinner. I don't remember ever having rice until I was 18 years old. But when I started learning how to cook rice, they would always say, you know, put two cups of water in one, to one cup of rice. And after I burned up 1,000 pots of rice doing that, I learned that it was really four cups of water to a cup of rice. And then the first time when I went to Asia and I saw people cooking rice in Hong Kong, and I saw they were putting six cups of water to one cup of rice and then pouring off the excess water at the end, I started using that strategy and I got the better rice as a result of it. Well, what are we going to do? We don't just have arsenic coming in from rice. We've had arsenic coming in from apple juice. You know, just a short time ago, we realized that apple juice was a contaminant. Well, you know, think about what we're feeding our babies and our toddlers, you know, a bottle full of apple juice and a bowl full of rice cereal. Now we've got a threat of arsenic, especially to the toddler, to the fetus, and to the developing child. You know, when people take this prudent position and say, well, I'm not going to have any rice crackers or rice pasta or rice drinks or, you know, rice milk or rice cereal or any kind of rice whatsoever, what they fail to realize is that arsenic has been showing up in other things for a long time, and most notably, it's been showing up in chicken. You know, when you go to the supermarket and you buy your chicken, you're buying a bird that, you know, 70% of them are given roxurosone in their feed. Yeah, that's the $5 word for, you know, it's a charming name, really. It's a way that we disguise arsenic that is put into the chicken feed. And you're going, wait a minute, did they do that on purpose? Yes, the FDA even approves it. When we look at these large-scale poultry facilities where there's 25,000 birds in a single chicken house, one of the things that big producers are trying to do is to fatten those birds up as quick as they possibly can. And so they found out years ago that there was a parasitic ailment that affected chickens that affected their growth rate. And so coccidia was able to be killed by arsenic. And so, oh, probably, I'm going to say 30 years ago, arsenic began to be delivered into chicken feed fundamentally from the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. And so as chicken harvesting, chicken growing, chicken production started to expand, the idea of adding this arsenic into the chicken feed expanded as well. By the time we got to the year 2000, 70% of all the broiler chickens that were being produced were using roxurosone additives in their feed. And so when Pfizer announced that it would voluntarily stop selling arsenic-laced feed about, I think it was the beginning of last summer, that was really startling. Now, that doesn't mean that Pfizer was the only one that manufactured it. They just put out about half of it into the food, but, you know, with a romantic name like roxurosone, it was easy for individuals, even people that were growing the chickens, to not realize that arsenic was being used. You know, European Union banned the use of arsenic-based chicken feeds a dozen years ago. And only one of the U.S. poultry giants, which was Tyson Foods, actually stopped using it about 7 or 8 years ago. But those arsenic-laced feeds have continued to be used in the United States. And looking at all of the data of the roxurosone-treated chickens, it turned out that they had more arsenic in them than other types of poultry or meat from other animals. So heavy chicken eaters would have a greater than normal daily intake. You know, I read food diaries on a regular basis, and I have a lot of clients who've stopped eating beef and pork and lamb and the four-legged animals, and they're eating chicken and turkey and fishes almost exclusively, moving on the food chain in such a way that they feel like they're eating healthier than they would if they ate beef, which is the single biggest source of saturated fat and hormones in the American diet. Yet, if out of 14 lunches and dinners, somebody's eating 7 to 10 of them as chicken, which is really not uncommon in the food diaries that I read, we could definitely exceed the tolerable daily intake that the World Health Organization recommends in terms of exposure to arsenic. And you might say, well, how come the FDA doesn't stop them putting arsenic in the feed? Because when they test an individual chicken, they don't find the arsenic in a level that would be threatening. So now if I have a broiler chicken with arsenic and rice with arsenic and a glass of apple juice with arsenic and I'm drinking water that's got arsenic in it, you can see that the target organs of the bladder and the liver and the skin and the lungs and the heart can be affected by arsenic. And, you know, there's really a couple of different kinds of arsenic. There's inorganic arsenic, and that's the one that's really troublesome. And there's what's known as organic arsenic. Remember, when you use the word organic, it just means it's got a carbon atom sitting in on it. And so let's think about what, not just what arsenic is, but what arsenic does. It interferes with the longevity of the cell because it inhibits certain enzymes. When we look at inhibited enzymes, the energy system inside the cell gets disrupted. So arsenic prevents the use of vitamin B1, which is thiamine. And so when we look at this concentration of arsenic, and we can look at it because we can test it. Now, you can't really test arsenic very easily in the blood. Unless you just got poisoned yesterday, arsenic is not going to stay in the blood for very long. Arsenic is going to transport, as a lot of heavy metals and toxins do, into the cell. And so when we look at arsenic exposure, we are generally doing testing. Well, you can test arsenic with fingernails and toenails. Toenails most commonly are used when you're evaluating arsenic levels, when people are getting it over a long period of time, every day, every day, every day, like they get in their water. But in clinic, I will often use what's known as a heavy metal test, because arsenic is not the only bad guy. You know, we have to look at cadmium, mercury, lead, aluminum, nickel. All of these things can concentrate in such a way that they interfere with these enzymes that have to do with energy. There's other things that arsenic affects in the body, but let's come back to this heavy metal screening. The ideal way to find out how much heavy metal is in your body is to do what's known as a provocation test. And in that test, you get up in the morning and the first urination is flushed away. And then you take a handful of pills. And those pills contain compounds that chelate the minerals. And you know that word chelation, which is not spelled with a K, but a CH, chelation, means that the agents that are put into the body latch on to these various heavy metals and carry them out in the flow of urine. So you get up in the morning, discard the first urine, take a handful of pills, and then collect your urine for 24 hours, including the first urine of the next day. And then that's shipped off to not the whole amount is shipped off, but a sample of that 24-hour collection is shipped off in a test tube to a lab that is a specialist in heavy metal testing. And we get back a report about 2 weeks later that shows what your heavy metal level load is. Sometimes, just for convenience, we only do a 6-hour collection, but it still gives us a snapshot of what's going on in terms of these heavy metals. And then by finding out which of the metals are heavy, a program can be developed to remove these inorganic arsenics and other things. When we realize that the effect on the heart, the effect on blood pressure, the effect on the central nervous system can be silent. Very many people that show up in my clinic show up looking for a single answer, looking for what is that one thing that caused my problem in terms of toxicity. And it's certainly the case that I see heavy metal tests where arsenic does end up being a big culprit. But not only does arsenic affect the central nervous system and the blood pressure and, you know, white blood cells and red blood cells that can create anemia, it can create low white blood cells, it can create all sorts of neurological disturbances, and moreover, I see it affecting the energy in the cell, but it can also affect the lining of the blood vessels. You know, we use the term ED as erectile dysfunction, but in fact, ED should be saying endothelial dysfunction, because it is the lining of the blood vessels that are affected that causes the ED erectile dysfunction, but also activates the progression toward heart disease. You know, chronic arsenic exposure induces very high oxidative stress, and so that affects both the structure and the function of the cardiovascular system. That's how we know that it is related to atherosclerosis, is because it will increase the aggregation of platelets. It will cause them to stick together and, again, make us riskier to have a clot. It's a dirty world out there. It's a dirty world out there, and we get exposed every day to things. And it's real easy for somebody to wave the flag and go, oh, this is it. This is the mega disaster. Well, you know, we go through mega disasters on such a frequent repetition that some of us get inured to the idea that these things are actually potentially toxic to our health. On Monday, fish oil didn't help you, and on Tuesday, egg yolks will kill you, and on Wednesday, organic food isn't really any better for you. You know, the news hasn't been kind to those of us that are really trying to eat for health. And eating for health is really a deep commitment. It's a deep commitment that speaks to the fact that we're trying to have optimal function. And not simply accept the fact that when we reach a certain age, we expect things are going to go wrong. While it's true that nobody gets out of this place alive, what I look at in my practice is that period of time I refer to as the disability zone. You know, that zone between the place where health span ends and lifespan ends. And so when I look at that disability zone, almost everybody I ask, they say that they want the disability zone to be zero. They don't want to have any disability prior to death. Well, that means you want to get hit by a bus or struck by lightning. But what's true is for the most of us, we lose function prior to death. And that window of time that we lose function is something that nobody wants to talk about. And any of us that have seen a family member or a loved one suffer in the last chapter of their life, we know that we want to do anything we can to shorten that disability zone. Well, zero time in the disability zone isn't going to be had by all. My favorite story still involves a client who came to me, and her father at 108 fell off the ladder while he was picking his olive tree and broke his neck. So, you know, sometimes you can say, well, that was a pretty good ending. That was zero disabilities, 108 years old, and he's climbing a ladder. But for most of us, what we want is function, and we want function for as long as we possibly can have it. So eating for health becomes a lifetime job, and it becomes a task that involves education to know where we can stack the deck to benefit ourselves and the ways that the world can stack the deck to harm us. Well, when I learned more about all of these heavy metals through the years that I've been in practice, I realized that I too had been exposed to arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury. And I had chelation treatments done. And chelation can not only be done with pills, it can also be done with injections. This is done by doctors who specialize in that kind of work, to inject individuals with compounds that are specifically designed to get the heavy metals out. Dr. Harvey and I can do a more involved show about that at some point in the future. But we can also chelate these metals out of our body without using any kind of IV therapy. And so every morning when I get up, what's sitting on my nightstand is a bottle of time-released alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid is a really amazing compound, and it's amazing because it's both water-soluble and fat-soluble. And so that's kind of a rare thing in chemistry. And so when we look at the nature of this thiol compound called lipoic acid, it's one of the things that arsenic readily combines with. When I get up every morning and take my one pill of time-released alpha-lipoic acid, that alpha-lipoic acid is floating through my bloodstream looking for things to bind with. And very most notably, arsenic is on that short list. So when we look at this potential exposure, whenever we find out that something is potentially bad for us, especially when we've been told for years that it's good for us, it really does create a conflict, because rice is one of the world's healthiest foods. You know, the difference between brown rice and white rice is not just color. When we look at brown rice, we've got, you know, all that fiber in the hull. We've got manganese in there. You know, a huge part of manganese in the diets of individuals that eat rice on a daily basis, that comes right out of their rice bowl. It's a trace mineral, and it helps us to produce energy. The nature of the ATP, the nature of the actual energy production site that happens in the cell, in the mitochondria of the cell, the energy factory of the cell. Manganese is a critical component of that ability to produce energy. So when we have these oxygen-based energy factories inside of our cell, we've got to have manganese in order to make it all happen. Rice is one of the great sources of that. It's a good source of selenium. It's a good source of magnesium. Brown rice keeps a whole lot of the vitamin B1, the thiamine, vitamin B3, the niacin, vitamin B6, the phosphorus, the iron, the dietary fiber, the essential fatty acids. So I'm always recommending brown rice above white rice. And, you know, basmati rice falls about right in the middle between the two. Because rice is rich in fiber, we get a tremendous benefit to the colon. A tremendous benefit because that concentrated source of fiber, as it moves through the body, helps to move toxic elements out more quickly. And we've got selenium in rice. And selenium is one of those things high in things like Brazil nuts that is a component of a lot of metabolic pathways. You've got to have selenium in order to make thyroid. You've got to have selenium in order to get your immune system to work right, to get your antioxidants to work right. So that's the reason I often recommend people buy a bag of Brazil nuts, put it in a pretty jar, and set it right on the dining room table and eat one a day. Selenium is incorporated into very many proteins. So it's incredibly important for cancer protection, because of its involvement in an antioxidant called glutathione. So when we see all of these tremendous benefits that we can, one of the things that can happen is we can weigh less. You know, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition really showed that women who ate whole grains weighed less than women who ate refined grains. You know, that Harvard Medical School study involved almost 75,000 nurses. And so all of the women that ate these fiber-rich foods weighed less than people who didn't eat fiber-rich foods. We get cardiovascular benefits, especially for postmenopausal women, when we get a serving of whole grains like brown rice and good oatmeal, not the microwave cream of paste slop. We saw benefits in postmenopausal women in terms of cardiovascular disease. having whole grains in the diet slowed the progression of atherosclerosis, the buildup of plaque. It increased the elasticity of the vessels. And so when we look at phytonutrients, we're always going to have a benefit to the body in terms of reducing disease when we have these plant-based compounds. Phenols and thiols and antioxidants, every single one of these families of phytonutrients are promoting, well, they're promoting health. And so when we look at populations that eat these high fiber-rich whole grains, they consistently have lower risk for colon cancer, the second biggest cancer killer that we have in America after lung cancer. So when we begin to look at all of these protective effects that rice has, specifically brown rice, it's hard for us to think about eliminating it from the diet. What we have to do is to realize that there are dangers of lots of things that exist in the diet. You know, the insecticides that were used on fruit trees when I was growing up were lead arsenate. And you hear the arsenic word in there. And, you know, the brain damage it caused to the farm workers that were spraying those trees was unbelievable. A century ago, arsenic was actually used as a coloring agent in baked goods. You know, hundreds of years ago, it wasn't uncommon to use the copper arsenate as a green pigment in things like wallpaper. It was called Paris green or emerald green. But the place that those of us that grew up in Florida are going to see arsenic more than we are on our plate is all the arsenic-treated wood, all that green wood that's out there that we built decks and playground equipment with. When you had the dog laying underneath the porch and the porch was made with that arsenate infused wood, that green wood, every time it rained, that arsenic was dripping down on that soil and the puppy was laying in that and the dog got arsenic poisoning. I can remember when I was living in Colorado, there was one creek that University of Colorado took some samples of fish from the creek, and they had sky-high arsenic levels, and it was an area of the Rockies where arsenic was not high in the bedrock, and they realized all these little bridges that had been built over the creek were made out of this arsenic-laced wood done as pressure-treated wood. Well, you know, now you can't sell that stuff anymore, but companies that had a big inventory of it were allowed to sell out all of the inventory that they had. So here we've got something that interferes with our normal bodily function, but we can eliminate it. And a lot of people get exposed to arsenic, whether it's in rice or water or apple juice or chickens, and they eliminate it naturally. Through the skin, through the nails, through the hair, and actually through the intestinal tract. And what's true is individuals who have high amounts of potassium in their diet, and remember potassium is in every fruit and vegetable, helps us to be protected against arsenic. When we look at individuals that eat high sulfur-containing foods, you've heard me on No Nonsense Nutrition repeatedly talk about the fact that you can't get too much sulfur in your diet. Now, remember, those of you that are listening, it's not sulfa, it's not the drug, it's sulfur, the mineral. Hardly a month goes by that I don't have somebody come into my practice that says I'm allergic to sulfur. No, you can't be allergic to sulfur. You can be allergic to sulfa, the drug, but not to a natural mineral. And so when we eat the onions and garlic and asparagus and broccoli and cauliflower and bok choy and arugula and Brussels sprouts and all of those things that contain these sulfur groups, they're one of the things that help clear the heavy metals out of the body. Selenium, iodine, calcium, zinc, vitamin C, all of those things are in the multivitamins that I give clients on a daily basis. And those nutrients are protective against the effects of arsenic. When you take extra magnesium, like I do, or extra vitamin E or vitamin C or B vitamins or my buddy lipoic acid, you help to protect against the effects of arsenic. So yes, we want to remove the sources of arsenic to the best ability we can, and that's one of the reasons that I use an absolute 1 micron filter for my water. Absolute 1 micron filters, which are solid or compressed carbon filters, are the best ability that we have to remove arsenic from the water. You know, arsenic's effects are so complex in terms of biochemistry that any reduction of arsenic is beneficial for us. Whether it's happening because we're taking it out of the water, avoiding the foods that contain it, or doing some sort of detoxification process in order to get the arsenic out of the body. You know how much I love my eggs, and eggs are one of the good places to get the sulfurated amino acids. That's one of the reasons that when eggs rot, they smell like sulfur. You know, cut garlic, it smells like sulfur. Some of you that eat beans, a few hours later, you can smell sulfur. And so those sulfured methyl groups, anything that is high in B12, anything that's high in B6, anything that's high in folic acid, all of those things help us to get this arsenic out of the body. But what are you going to do if you got a little kid? What if you got a little kid and you're starting to wean this child off the breast and the first thing that they're telling you to do is give the kid rice cereal? Well, I say, stop it. Stop it, not only because of the potential for the arsenic, but what's true is we should be moving babies from the breast to the sweet vegetables like sweet potatoes and carrots and butternut squash. Those should be the first foods that kids are given, not grains. Grains are very difficult for a child to digest. They require a lot of enzymatic activity, much more so than the simple starchy sweet vegetables. Remember, babies' tongues are keyed to tasting sweet. Breast milk is much sweeter than cow's milk or other mammal milk. And so babies have a palate for that sweetness initially, and we can meet it with things like carrots and pumpkin and butternut squash and acorn squash and sweet potatoes. Those are the things we ought to be starting our babies on, not cereal. So yes, there are much lower amounts of these toxic agents in other grains. Other grains are not grown in water-flooded fields like rice is. And so it just simply does not have the ability to take up the arsenic, even if the arsenic existed in the water that was going on this grain. You know, when we realize that grain feeds over half of humanity, we just are not going to be eliminating rice from the diet, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. And so when they looked at the samples of the rice that was grown in Arkansas and Louisiana and Missouri and Texas, that's a third of all the rice grown in the United States, that's where the levels of arsenic were the highest. Because in very many instances, these are areas where arsenate-laden pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and fertilizers had been used for decades prior to the rice going in there. So, if you're pregnant with a little one, stop the rice. Stop the regular chicken. Now, organic chicken is not going to be fed arsenic-laden feed, but remember, the organic chicken can still be getting water that contains arsenic in it. So, there is a possibility of still having exposure. So, now I'm coming right on back to the fact that using things like magnesium, alpha lipoic acid, sulfurated foods, those basic minerals that I talked about are one of the things that can be protective. And, you know, when I looked up on the Agency for Toxic Substances list to see where we had toxic load, probably all of us know about the old beryllium site that is up in Telavast. And this land has been contaminated for some period of time, not only with arsenic, but other things. But it's one of the hot properties that are on the list. In Tampa, there are several sites in Plant City and Mulberry and Tarpon Springs and Temple Terrace. All of these areas have sites that are considered arsenic contaminated. And I spoke on a prior show about a young woman who came in to me, and I explained to her mother that I felt that she had been exposed to toxins as a young child. And the mother revealed to me that the playground where this little girl grew up had been declared a Superfund site, meaning that the toxic load on this soil was so high that they put a chain link fence around the property so as to not let anybody onto it until the Superfund money is available to clean up the site. And this is where the child played sandlot baseball as a kid. So what's a girl to do? What are you going to do if you're really trying to make an effort to eat healthy and you've been buying organic brown rice and now you're afraid of organic brown rice? Well, the first thing you do is eat less of it. Frequency is really the issue. You hear on No Nonsense Nutrition all the time that I talk about variety. You're going to eat fish? I don't want salmon, tuna. I want variety. Even a really healthy food like broccoli, I don't necessarily want it every single solitary day. So when we look at this molecular link that takes place between arsenic and effects on the health, what we want to do is eat so that we can prevent an arsenic overload. Number one, we can filter our water. So many times here on No Nonsense Nutrition, I try to talk you into eliminating purchasing bottled water, getting away from the plastic bottles, not only because they fill up 10% of our landfill, but because you're paying more than you're paying for gas, you know, $4 a gallon when you're buying those little bottles of water. Over the long run, you'll save money buying an absolute 1 micron or solid carbon compressed carbon filter. I do not recommend the use of silver in a filter. I do not recommend the use of granulated charcoal. And all of these little pitchers that have a filter on them or the little screw-in gizmos that you put on your faucet at home, they're really too small to take out much concentration of toxins at all. When we look at eating in such a way that we can prevent arsenic overload, we know that those high sulfur foods are one of the ways, but what's true is fruits and vegetables in general. Fruits and vegetables in general are high in potassium. And so the more of these receptor sites that we already have saturated with good minerals, the less opportunity arsenic has to make its way home. You know, one of the things that crossed my mind as I was looking at the data on the Roxarsone that has been put in chicken feed, the arsenic chicken feed that's been used to reduce parasites is a growth agent for chickens. The reason that you're trying to reduce this parasitic infection is so that the chickens mature and put on weight faster. And when I look at half of America being on a diet and two-thirds of us being overweight or obese, I'm wondering if eating this growth stimulant for chickens hasn't been in part a growth stimulant for us too. Well, think about it. I did. And especially the more that I look at diets in general, because, you know, I've clearly realized that diets that make you thin don't also always make you healthy. And so when we eat high amounts of fruits and vegetables, we upregulate the genes that protect against disease and we turn off the genes that promote oxidative stress and inflammation and some kinds of cancers. And the thing that is amazing to me, when I look at the Preventative Medicine Research Institute at the University of California, San Francisco, and I look at what they've learned when they put people on plant-based meals with dishes like, you know, vegetarian chili and the, you know, veggie burger I had for dinner last night. When we look at the results that they've gotten, what we find out is in as little as 3 weeks of somebody being on a higher amount of plants in the diet, there have been upregulations in these beneficial genes, downregulation in the bad genes. And so the same thing is true when we're trying to protect ourselves against arsenic, is realizing that the higher the amount of fruits and vegetables that we have in the diet, the greater amount of protection. So if you think that you potentially have been exposed and you're worried that you've got toxic elements, whether it's mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, aluminum, or nickel, a holistic physician can do the assessment to find out whether your toxic symptoms are involved in chronic exposure to these kinds of agents, whether it's done with an IV chelation or it's done with an oral chelation. But detoxification of these external compounds is critical to good health. So if you want to stack the deck, you can stack the deck by using supplements like alpha-lipoic acid and a good quality multivitamin, multimineral. This week, boy, I really hit the jackpot in the clinic because I had clients bring me in some of the lousiest multivitamins I have ever seen. You know, they bring in this 55-gallon drum that they got at the warehouse for, you know, $3 or whatever. And when you look on the ingredient list, you understand why they're selling these vitamins this cheap, because they're putting in very poor quality ingredients. You want to understand that when you get to a high-quality multivitamin, multimineral, it's going to require a couple of things. Number one, you're going to have to take 4 or 6 of them a day because minerals are bulky and you can't smush them into one little pearl. And secondly, if you're going to get a really good quality multivitamin, multimineral, you're going to probably spend about $1 a day on them. So when we look at the insufficiency, not the absence, not the deficiency, but the insufficiency of very many of these detoxifying nutrients, we realize that taking a real good quality multivitamin, multimineral is one of the best insurance policies that you can have. If you're sensitive to odors and you have a lot of musculoskeletal symptoms similar to fibromyalgia, if there is repetitive edema, swelling of the tissue, if you're one of the people that has absolutely unusual reactions to medications, very high sensitivity to medications, if you're an abundant user of medications in general, if you've had exposure in the home or in the work environment of potentially toxic chemicals, those are all warning signs that say that it may be appropriate for you to get your heavy metals tested and find out if, in fact, you can lower the overall body burden. Over and over again, I wonder how to live clean in a dirty world. And so when I got up this morning and I took my alpha-lipoic acid, I took it with my water that had been filtered through an absolute 1-micron filter. The yogurt and fruit that was in my bowl this morning was organic raspberries, organic peaches, organic papaya. I didn't have organic pineapple because I don't really care whether you get organic pineapple or not. It's very rarely found with pesticides on it. I had a cup of English breakfast tea with a little bit of organic soy creamer and some stevia in it. You know, I'm making conscious decisions, a deepening commitment to health of trying to reduce exposure. So, no, you can't reduce it all. I'm going to be going on the road this Wednesday, going up to Asheville and making a trip and, you know, eating a little bit more restaurant food than I would normally. But I guarantee you, when I go to the airport on Wednesday, I will have my lunch packed myself and not be eating airport food. You can stack the deck. You can reduce exposure. But if you're one of those people that's been eating rice 7 days a week, I'm going to say, stop it. And if you're one of those people that's feeding your baby rice cereal, rice crackers, rice milk, rice cookies, rice pasta, I'm going to say, stop it. A little bit of exposure, very different from a lot of exposure.